A victim consciousness is when we allow something in our outer environment to control the way we feel and think. Something in my outer environment, some person or some condition, is controlling the way I think and feel. Now, that's not the truth. That's just a response, right? So anything that controls our thoughts and feelings causes us to be victim to those things. And the stronger the emotion we feel to some circumstance in our life, the more we pay attention to it. And where we place our attention is where we place our energy. So we're giving our life force, we're giving our power away to that circumstance.
Weak people are a problem in general. And I don't mean physically weak, I mean cowardly, let's say, and deceitful, because I'm thinking it more in terms of moral weakness. Don't make your pathway, if you don't pick a forthright and useful and noble pathway through life, then you'll become bitter and too hurt by the tragedy of existence. And then you tend to seek your revenge wherever you can get it. And that's not good.
Hard thing to accept, but in our lives, we are getting out of our life right now exactly what we believe we're worthy of, exactly what we think we deserve. Our life is a direct reflection of our identity, which is the thoughts, concepts, beliefs, values, and worth we hold true to be about ourselves. And so as hard as it is to accept, we're getting out of life right now what we believe we're worth.
I believe the way that you think is a choice. I believe that you are either going to repeat the thinking patterns that you've always had this year, or you can evolve them. Because when you change how you think, you will change your life.
Our belief system is based upon our evaluation of something. Frequently, if we reevaluate a situation, our belief about it will change. I began reevaluating who I was. I started to study. I never stopped studying. And I found as I reevaluated, I had a much higher opinion of myself. I found out things about me that I would have never believed if you had told me. The power that's locked up within us, the marvelous system we've got. Do you know the blood circulates through your veins every 33 seconds, through hundreds of miles of passageway, bang, just like that, colliers, all the food in and all the garbage out. Stop and think of the central nervous system. It's the most complex electrical system in the world. And you've got it. Think of your brain, an electronic switching station like that. You can change the vibration of yourself and everything around you. We have awesome powers, and it's all based on what you believe about you.
It's necessary as you look at your goals and your dreams, it's necessary that you have a strategy and a game plan to change the story that you believe about yourself. And that's an ongoing process. I've discovered, and many people have, that what we do, what we accomplish, what we produce is a result of the story we believe about ourselves. My favorite book says, "Be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so as I began to work on myself, I realized that I'm getting out of one story and stepping into another story. As I become aware of some things, there's still some things I'm not aware of. So I'm still growing, I'm still developing. But I realized that you have to work on yourself on a regular basis, and write this down, for mental mindset and stamina.
Every time you have a thought, you make a chemical. And if you have a great thought, or an unlimited thought, or a joyful thought, you turn on a set of circuits in your brain that fires in a very specific sequence, pattern, and combination that produces a level of mind that turns on another part of the brain that makes a chemical for you to begin to feel exactly the way you were just thinking, great or unlimited or joyful. Now, if you have a negative thought or an unhappy thought or a self-depreciating thought, you turn on a different set of circuits and a different combination, a different sequence, and a different pattern that produces a different level of mind. And the brain then begins to make a different batch of chemicals that signals the body for you to begin to feel exactly the way you were just thinking, negative or unhappy or unworthy. So the moment you begin to feel the way you think, because the brain is in constant communication with your body, you begin to think the way you feel, which makes more chemicals for you to feel the way you think. And then you think the way you feel, and then you feel the way you think, and then you think the way you feel. And some people do this for 20 or 30 or 40 years.
Each behavior casts a vote for the type of person that you want to become. And if you cast enough votes for that type of identity, you start to believe that about yourself, right? Like if you go to church for 20 years, you believe that you're religious. You study Spanish every Tuesday for 30 minutes, you believe that you're studious. So in that way, your habits provide evidence of your desired identity. And I think that that is probably the ultimate reason that habits are so important. It's true, like habits can help you earn more money or be more productive or lose weight. And all that stuff is great. But in addition to the external results that habits provide, they also shape your sense of self. They like are the engine or the avenue through which you learn to believe things about yourself.
But by seeing and being in the dreams in your mind, it trains your mind to be a little more confident. Because when you understand something or see it, you get a little more confidence, right? Familiarity by itself can breed confidence. Think about why you're so confident in the things that you do all the time. Like if I ask you to tie your shoe or ride a bike, you've done it enough times, it's real to you, you can see it, you can imagine it, you can feel it, taste it, experience it in your mind. So you're confident about your ability to do it. Well now, the future, we need to pull that to your mind today and start having you visualize it more, see it more, see it more, because if you can see it, you can achieve it. You've heard that in personal development. I know you have. So that's really important.
You are equipped for your race. You have the right personality, the right gifts, the right looks. You're the right height. You come from the right family. You weren't shortchanged. You're not at a disadvantage. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Walk in your anointing. Be confident with your gifts. Let your personality shine. It's not another person in this world like you. The enemy would love for you to go through life trying to be an imitation, copying someone else that you think is more attractive, more gifted, more successful. No, be you. Nobody can do you like you can do you. You're not anointed to be someone else. The anointing on your life, the favor, the blessing is to be you.
When we focus on thoughts about bitter past memories or imagine dreadful futures to the exclusion of everything else, we prevent the body from regaining homeostasis. In truth, we're capable of turning on the stress response by thought alone. If we turn it on and then can't turn it off, we're surely headed for some type of illness or disease, be it a cold or cancer, as more and more genes get downregulated in a domino effect until we eventually arrive at our genetic destiny. For example, if we can anticipate a possible known future scenario and then focus on that thought to the exclusion of everything else, even for just one moment, the body will physiologically begin to change in order to prepare itself for that future event. The body is now living in that known future in the present moment. As a consequence of this phenomenon, the conditioning process begins to activate the autonomic nervous system, and it creates the corresponding stress chemicals automatically. This is how the mind-body connection can work against us. When this happens, we are demonstrating the three elements of the placebo effect in perfect symmetry. First, we start to condition the body to the rush of adrenal chemistry in order to feel a boost of energy. If we can associate a person, thing, or experience at a particular time and place in our outer reality with that rush of chemistry within us, we'll begin to condition the body to turn on the response just by thinking about that stimulus. In time, we'll be able to simply condition the body to be put in mind of that emotionally aroused state by thought alone. The thought of a potential experience with someone and something at some time and some place, if we can expect the future outcome based on the past experience, then the expectation of the event, when we emotionally embrace it, will change the body's physiology. And if we assign meaning to the behaviors and experiences, we're putting our conscious intention behind the outcome so that our bodies will change or not change equal to what we think we know about our reality and ourselves. But whether or not you believe that the stress in your life is justified or valid, the effect of that stress on the body is never advantageous or health enhancing. If your environment changes and you then program new genes in new ways, is it possible, based on your perceptions and beliefs, to program the gene ahead of the actual environment?
Feelings and emotions are normally the end products of experiences, but can you combine a clear intention with an emotion that begins to give the body a sampling of the future experience before it's been made manifest? When you're truly focused on an intention for some future outcome, if you can make inner thought more real than the outer environment during the process, the brain won't know the difference between the two. Then your body, as the unconscious mind, will begin to experience the new future event in the present moment. You'll signal new genes in new ways to prepare for this imagined future event. If you continue to mentally practice enough times this new series of choices, behaviors, and experiences that you desire, reproducing the same new level of mind over and over again, then your brain will begin to physically change, installing new neurological circuitry to begin to think from that new level of mind, to look as if the experience has already happened. You'll be producing epigenetic variations that lead to real structural and functional changes in the body by thought alone, just as do those who respond to a placebo. Then your brain and body will no longer be living in the same past. They'll be living in the new future that you created in your mind. This is possible through mental rehearsal. This technique is basically closing your eyes and repeatedly imagining performing an action and mentally reviewing the future you want, all the while reminding yourself of who you no longer want to be and who you do want to be. This process involves thinking about your future actions, mentally planning your choices, and focusing your mind on a new experience. Let's go over this sequence in greater detail so we can more thoroughly understand exactly what's happening in mental rehearsal and how it works. As you mentally rehearse a destiny or dream about a new outcome, you imagine it over and over again until it becomes familiar to you. The more knowledge and experience you have wired in your brain about the new reality you desire, the more resources you have to create a better model of it in your mental picturing. And so the greater your intention and expectation are, you are reminding yourself of what your life will look like and feel like once you get what you want. Now you are putting an intention behind your attention. So it makes sense that we should concentrate not merely on avoiding negative emotions like fear and anger, but also on consciously cultivating heartfelt positive emotions such as gratitude, joy, excitement, enthusiasm, fascination, awe, inspiration, wonder, trust, appreciation, kindness, compassion, and empowerment to give us every advantage in maximizing our health. Studies show that getting in touch with positive, expansive emotions like kindness and compassion, emotions that are our birthright, by the way, tends to release a different neuropeptide called oxytocin, which naturally shuts off the receptors in the amygdala, the part of the brain that generates fear and anxiety. With fear out of the way, we can feel infinitely more trust, forgiveness, and love. We move from being selfish to selfless. And as we embody this new state of being, our neurocircuitry opens the door to endless possibilities that we never could have even imagined before, because now we're not expending all our energy trying to figure out how to survive. Scientists are finding areas in the body, like the intestines, the immune system, the liver, and the heart, as well as many other organs, that contain receptor sites for oxytocin. These organs are highly responsive to oxytocin's major healing effect, which has been linked to growing more blood vessels in the heart, stimulating immune function, increasing gastric motility, and normalizing blood sugar levels. The frontal lobe is our ally in mental rehearsal. That's true because, as we established earlier, the frontal lobe helps us unplug from the body, the environment, and time. The three main focuses of someone who's living in survival mode. It helps us get past ourselves to a state of pure consciousness where we have no ego. In this new state, as we envision what we desire, our hearts are more open and positive emotion can flood through us, so that now the loop of feeling what we're thinking and thinking, what we're feeling is finally working in our favor. The selfish mindset we were in when we were in survival mode no longer exists, because
the energy we channeled towards survival needs has now been freed up for us to create. It's as though someone paid our rent or mortgage payment for the month so that we have extra cash to play with. Now we can understand exactly why it is that if we hold a clear intention of a new future, marry it to a state of expansive, elevated emotion, and repeat that over and over until we've created a new state of mind and a new state of being, these thoughts will seem more real to us than our previous limited view of reality. We're finally free. And once we truly embrace that emotion, we can more easily fall in love with the possibility that we've been envisioning. The symphony conductor, frontal lobe, feels like a kid in a candy store, excitedly and joyfully seeing all sorts of creative possibilities for new neural connections that can combine to form new neural nets. And as the conductor unplugs us from the old state of being and switches on the circuits in this new state of being, our neurochemicals begin delivering new messages to our cells, which are now prepared to make epigenetic changes that signal new genes in new empowering ways. And because we've used heightened emotions to make it seem as though it's already happened, we're signaling the gene ahead of the environment. Now we're no longer waiting for the change and hoping for the change. We are the change.